Good morning. Our scripture lesson today just picks up where we left off last week. So this is John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, and this is Jesus speaking, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask God, and God will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees the Spirit nor knows the Spirit. You know the Spirit, because the Spirit abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will know that I am in God, and you are in me, and I am in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by God, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. These are our sacred stories. Thanks be to God. Today's lection begins, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," and then it ends, "They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by God, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." If you love me, you will keep my commandments. But which ones? Which commandments? Unlike the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of John does not have Jesus commanding us to go the second mile or turn the other cheek. Unlike the Gospel of Mark, we're not commanded in John to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Unlike the Gospel of Luke, there is no commandment in John to keep awake, praying at all times. No, in the Gospel of John, Jesus gives only a single commandment, and it occurs in the chapter just prior to our scripture lesson for today. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, we read, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And then, if anyone is confused, in the chapter following today's reading we find, and this is John chapter 15, verses 12 through 13, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and my commandment is that you love one another, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love. That's it. That's the gospel. Love. William Sloane Coffin wrote, "We are as we love, for if we fail in love, we fail in all things else." He continued, "There is no smaller package in the world than that of a person all wrapped up in himself. So look out, preachers who dangle your hearers over the flames of hell. You may scare them, but you can't save them, and you probably can't save yourselves either. For it sounds as if you hate evil more than you love good. And if that's true, you'll only end up very good haters. Look out, scholars whose truths are not rooted in compassion. You may be very clever, but you'll never be wise. Look out, patriots. Though American blood be shed, that doesn't make the cause one whit more sacred. For in and of itself, sacrifice confers no sanctity. Look out, parents, more interested in discipline than in good old body warmth. And look out, kids, you may have been abused by your parents. You may have been hurt by discrimination, unemployment, gang warfare, teachers, you name it. You don't hurt back. Not if you know who you are. For we are as we love." Who says Christianity has been tried and found wanting? It's been tried and found difficult. Only the strong can be tender. I wish I could read you the entire sermon. I won't, but as Coffin continued to write, and this is a sermon he wrote about 1 Corinthians 14, he continued this way. The trick is not to hand over your identity to others. Some people, too many in fact, need enemies to tell them who they are. One of the beautiful characteristics of Martin Luther King Jr. was that he did not. His identity was a matter between God and himself. White folks didn't enter in. Therefore, King was free to love white folks because he didn't have to hate them. He was free to rejoice in the right. You rejoice in the wrong only when you need enemies to tell you who you are. We are as we love. Only the strong can be tender. We are only able to love when we don't need to hate. Is this perhaps what Jesus is getting at when in Mark he tells us to love our enemies, to do good to those who persecute us? In John, Jesus gives one commandment, to love, and that's it. But that's far from easy. In fact, some days it feels impossible. For John, there's only one question. In what ways did I love today? That's it. And for me, there are some days that my answer embarrasses me. We are as we love, and if we fail in love, we fail in all things else. But that's not the end of it. Thank God this commandment to love is not the end of it, because some days I can't, and some days I won't, and some days I don't, and sometimes I need help. Most of the time, I need help. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask God, and God will give you another advocate who will be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees the Spirit nor knows the Spirit. You know the Spirit, because the Spirit abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. We are not abandoned to do this love alone. We're not left to our own devices. In the Gospel of John, it is clear that the Spirit will come only after Jesus departs. God will send another advocate. For John, Jesus is the first advocate, and while Jesus was physically present, another advocate was not needed. Jesus embodied the love he asks of each of us, providing a model, a teacher, a way. While Jesus walked the earth, his ministry was limited by time and space, limited to his embodiment of it. But when he physically leaves, we're given the Spirit, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Counselor, the Helper. The word here for Spirit can be translated in each of these ways: Comforter, Advocate, Counselor, Helper. The word is Paraclete, and it appears only 5 times. 4 times in John 14 through 16, and once in 1 John. The Spirit is specifically said to do the following: to teach, remind, abide, and testify about Jesus. Jesus is preparing the disciples for when he will no longer be present in a physical way. They have become accustomed to him appearing here and there, offering words of peace, cooking breakfasts on the shore over a fire, walking along the road, being made known in the breaking of bread. But these appearances will stop. Jesus is leaving, and they and we are not left orphaned, not abandoned to figure out this way of love on our own. Another advocate is coming, indeed is here, among us, in us, and with us, urging us in the paths of peace and justice, compelling us to love. If you love me, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask God, and God will give you another advocate to be with you forever. I will not leave you orphaned. This is an exacting commandment and a powerful promise. Love, love, and you are not abandoned. You do not do this love alone. Sometimes I feel abandoned. Sometimes I feel like an orphan, like a motherless child, a long, long way from home. Jesus certainly knows what it is to feel abandoned. Before we can get to the stories of Eastertide, we have the stories of his arrest, trial, and execution. We have his cry from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus' promises are made by a fellow struggler. They're given by one who knows what it is to suffer, who knows what it is to be abandoned, to feel completely isolated. Jesus speaks from a deep place of empathy. These words about love and comfort, these promises of connection, I am in God and you are in me and I am in you, they don't take away the pain. This is not the comfort of everything is okay or even that everything will be okay. These words are part of Jesus' farewell speech. Jesus is leaving. The disciples are going to be forced to face their grief and anguish yet again. These promises are born of the pain of coming separation. We are to love. We will not be abandoned. We will be given a comforter, and everything is not okay. How do we love when everything is not okay? How do we love when, according to Johns Hopkins University, as of May 15th, 86,228 Americans have already died of the coronavirus? And that's just the number we know. That's the number with completely inadequate testing. The virus has claimed 304,631 people around the world. How do we love when everything is not okay? How do we love when unemployment claims are now above 36 million in our country? How do we love when we're being pushed to return to normal, when the virus continues to rage and people are not taking needed precautions? How do we love when we're being pushed and threatened to return to normal, when the normal we once knew will never exist again? How do we love when racism rages in our country and people are murdered and abused and maligned? In the Gospel of John, Jesus gives us one commandment: to love. But how do we do it? Surely part of how we love is modeled in these words attributed to Jesus. We love by advocating, by comforting, by joining. We don't pretend that everything is okay. We walk the path of love led by divine mystery, knowing that we are not alone. Jesus' commandment to love and his words of comfort are born from a knowledge of abandonment, are given in awareness of despair. These are dark night of the soul promises. Darkness means different things to different people. Our culture, religious and otherwise, has suggested to us that darkness is always bad, sinister, evil. But must it be so? Not only does this association of the negative with darkness help to perpetuate bias against people with darker skin and blind people, it is also not consistent with experience. We have all discovered things in the darkness, in the night, that we could not have come to know in the light of day. The darkness has gifts, has wisdom. In her book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, Barbara Brown Taylor writes, "Even when you cannot see where you are going, and no one answers when you call, this is not sufficient proof that you are alone. There is a divine presence that transcends all your ideas about it, along with all your language for calling it to your aid." It often feels in these days like night is closing in. It's helpful to remember that we do not go through the night alone. It's helpful to remember that the night has gifts to offer. I need to be reminded that night or day, there is but one commandment, and that is to love. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by God, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Amen.